Thanks, Ross. And David, were you able to hold on to that thought about that? Now, did you say channeling extraterrestrials?
No, I didn't say channeling.
Okay, good. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. No, where did we leave off? I'm sorry.
Well, you know, we're really leaving off with a number of possibilities, you know, with the changes, you know, the animals dying, the magnetic field changes. But I want to kind of go, there's a study that was done at the University at Kansas by Russian and American physicists studying the fossil record and looking at mass-level extinction events. You know, because some people think 2012, in fact, there's articles online that George Lucas is now saying that he believes the world will end in 2012. And you kind of wonder where he gets his ideas from and the circles that he travels in. This study at the University at Kansas shows us some incredible data about the position of the solar system inside of the Milky Way galaxy. And while we're spinning around in a spiraling, decaying orbit at 11 million miles per day, or per year, I can't even remember now because I've lost. No, it's per day, which is phenomenal to think about. And we're rising north above the galactic plane. We're actually 10 parsecs north of the galactic plane. We're in the same position where the dinosaurs went extinct 64 million years ago. So every 64 million years, we dip south of the galactic plane and rise above it. The higher up we go, this study has found, using data from the Max Planck satellite, it looks like the cosmic radiations from galactic center get stronger and stronger and stronger. And they get to the point from studying the fossil record that low energy or weak biological systems that have membranes that can't handle the higher temperatures in this new high energy environment, they die off. And you get a certain amount of mutations, which are changes at the DNA level that can be so radical you can get new species, which is why we do get new species and we don't have dinosaurs anymore. Because every time this happens, you know, the only difference between a frog and a monkey and a human, when you really look on the DNA level and even the cellular level when life is evolving, they're very similar looking, you know, under the microscope. So what's actually happening now is no human civilization has ever existed north of galactic center. We're 10 parsecs north. In fact, I met a Hubble Space Telescope astronaut who repairs the Hubble telescope, Andrew J. Fustel, hiking in Sedona one day. And he said, you know, I talked to him about, yeah, the migration of the solar system. Yeah, he said, yeah, we're 10 parsecs north. It's, you know, he knows that biological systems are going to have a hard time surviving in this new energy environment.
Well, a parsec is a great deal of distance. That's what, 3.08 times 10 to the 16th meters?
It's ridiculous. 190 trillion miles for 10 parsecs. So 180, 190 trillion miles. So that's the razor blade center of the galactic plane. So we've already crossed the galactic plane, but if you measure the thickness of the dust plane, we're still in the upper part of it. And the higher up we go, it gets hotter, and there are these sudden membranes that you cross where you get sudden transformations of planets as particles. Now, what's amazing about this is you go back to the idea of a rapture or a rift, and a change. And you remember at the beginning of our discussion that we're talking about that we are electrical systems. We have any system that has electrical energy running through, it's going to have a north and a south pole, just like the planet, a north-south magnetic field. And any magnetic system, electrical system, is going to receive electromagnetic energy and be affected by it. So only high-energy biological systems are going to survive the change. Which is really incredible to think about how nature does this. I mean, it only allows so much time for biological systems to evolve and eventually physically evolve to the point that they can survive the coming changes. Now, nobody knows the date on this stuff because no human civilization, not even Lucy, you know, 3 to 5 million years ago, the oldest skeletons, you're talking 3 to 5 million years ago, you know, that was a period where we were just south of the galactic plane, actually, when the first humans were evolving. So human beings evolved south and inside of the galactic plane, but they've never existed north, and we are north right now. So the question is, what will happen? Will there be a transfer of energy in this new super cosmic energy environment the further we go north? Or will we literally vibrate into a higher dimension? And thanks to NASA looking into, you know, invisible spectra of light, we're now seeing energy fields, dark energy and dark matter clouds, and the early formation of galaxies. We're now seeing what the visible spectrum cannot see. But what's also amazing is the human auras, biophotons, or biological light emanations, discovered by German physicist Fritz Albert Popp, clearly span both the visible light spectrum and the invisible light spectrum. So a lot of our light clearly goes beyond what is visible. In fact, the higher energy emanations coming off of living things have more energy in them than the visible light spectrum has, because the higher in frequency and light you go, the more energy there is. So the part of our bodies, our light bodies, are high energy bodies, and they can withstand this change. But a physical organism has to have a high energy membrane to survive the higher cosmic energies. And that's nature's way, every so many millions of years, of kind of sifting out the lower vibrational life forms. And because we now know, and in the old world, it was determined that energy systems were the ruler of physical systems. Einstein said the field is the governing agency of the particle. But Max Planck, Einstein's mentor, there would be no Einstein without Planck. Planck was the Nobel Prize winner who believed the universe was conscious. And he didn't just believe that because he had a theory. He saw a lot of data that proved that consciousness affected subatomic systems. The new emerging quantum physicists now believe that it's information, organized or disorganized information, that tells energy to tell matter what to do. So we know that if a person is a lower vibration in consciousness, their matter, they're not going to have the ability to tell their matter, their DNA, to be able to survive in a high energy environment.
Let's twist off in just a... Now, did I cut you off, or did you have something to add there? Because
the final point is that is the idea of rapture, or what Claude Swanson is calling a rift. And that is one of the... It's one of the most spectacular science fiction hopes for humanity, and how we will, you know, the higher consciousness people will survive and are actually separate off, and the lower consciousness people can all just live together and you know, do what they want to do.
Well, that's exactly where I was going, because you made a biblical reference earlier to a chapter in Peter.
Second Peter, yeah.
Yeah, and it's as though, yes, this is going to happen. Yes, it's going to be rough, and it won't matter to some. They'll survive it. It'll be fine.
Melt with fervent heat.
Yes.
And what's amazing about that is, you know, we're looking at ancient scripture here. You know,
yes.
We're looking at scripture that probably even predates, you know, our translations from the Greek. And you realize that when you understand cosmology and the solar system and the galaxy, that sudden impetus of energy, cosmic energy, hitting our sun, the sun heats up and spits out huge energy fields towards the Earth, and then that can cause a pole shift, but it can also cause a huge vibrational energy change on the planet. And yes, elements can melt, but if you go into a super high energy body, which is really exciting because of, you know, all of the research and testing I've done on raising people's voltage, their energy in their bodies, it's those type of energy systems that are more likely to survive the change. And all the people who do all the meditation and all the love and all the good vibrational people, we know that their consciousness is going to be telling their DNA to go into a higher state, and they are going to survive the shift. Now, I had a medicine man, and I've said this before, but not in this context, Wallace Black Elk, whom I spent some time with before he passed away. And he said, we have a prophecy in the Lakota, you know, mysticism, that we don't like to tell people very much, because when we tell people, they think, you know, that we're just like, you know, the fire and brimstone in the Bible. But he said, in our prophecy, we see an event where the sun will produce an enormous blast of energy. And those whose hearts are pure will survive that energy, and those who are not will burn. And he says, I know that sounds really cruel, but it's just our prophecy. And we don't talk about it a lot. But when you understand everything we've talked about tonight, you know, bodies as electrical systems, low energy systems and high energy systems, and we understand that moving through the galaxy, we're going to see a huge transfer of energy into the sun and the solar system that suddenly transfers itself to us. I mean, we're so weak. I mean, scientists have done studies with fish where you just artificially induce weak, really weak magnetic fields, weaker than the Earth's magnetic field itself, to these fish in, when they're, you know, giving birth to the egg stage. And their offspring are born with observable, what's called phenotype changes. They see the changes at the DNA level, but you can see observable changes in the coloring and the striping. And you go, wow, that was just a weak magnetic field that did that. And so it doesn't necessarily mean, if 2012 is about an energy shift and not a huge, dramatic, you know, earth-changing series of events, then you don't have to see this massive amount of energy to cause that change. What happened on December 22nd, 2010, that everybody missed, only a few friends of mine saw it, because the USGS takes down the data. I grabbed a screenshot of all those earthquake sensors all going off at the same time, regardless of their distance from each other. And then the storm erupting on Saturn, and then, you know, all these other changes in the solar system. That's enough energy right there to change everybody's DNA.
And that's amazing.
And it means the new children, because their DNA is a rapid factory of telling the RNA to build proteins and build a new brain and a new consciousness based on that information. So it may have already happened, and nobody would notice, because it was so subtle and so overlooked.
That is completely amazing. Maybe, tell you what, let us break very quickly, and when we come back shortly, perhaps we could discuss how to strengthen what is a, well, I suppose you could call it reactive armor, couldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's do it. David Sirita is with us tonight on Coast to Coast AM. Thanks for staying with us tonight on Coast to Coast AM, and thank you very much. I know we take a lot of breaks here, but our sponsors keep us alive. Yes, they do, and we are grateful to them and grateful to you for maybe doing a little business with them. David, I'm going to be all over the place with this one, but you mentioned Bruce Lipton a while ago. I had the privilege of interviewing him one night on the show, and he discussed how when a child is actually conceived at the moment of conception, the parents are actually acting as genetic engineers. So can you give us some insight as to how to arrange our thinking and our feeling, our intent, when we're in the process of bringing children into the world, when we are, in fact, conceiving children, and once they are here, how to nurture them so that they're protection against the oncoming change is enhanced, and those of us who have already been around for a while, you mentioned meditation, of course, prayer is also very handy. I find that to be a very good thing to begin the day with. What can be done to strengthen ourselves?
Well, I'll give you some examples of what my wife Crystal and I did. Is, you know, when I did my studies into differentials, the hidden harmonic codes of the universe, I was looking for the, you know, going, let's go back a little bit to fulfill that. In Aramaic, the way Jesus prayed the Lord's Prayer in Aramaic, we now know from language translations that he wasn't addressing a man or a woman in the sky. He said, O thou from whom the breath of life comes, who fills all realms with sound, light, and vibration. And we know from, you know, the original Greek translations of John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know that the word Word comes from the Greek word logos. So in the beginning was the logos, and the logos was with God, and the logos was God. Well, logos in Greek mathematics means perfect harmonic ratio. In fact, logos means, it means perfect harmonic vibration of the universe. And anyone who understands music and music scales, it's all about perfect ratios of vibrations. And what I've done is identify mathematically, studying nature and quantum physics and particles, numerical values. If something gets beyond a frequency, which is a harmonic value of ratios. And I've done a lot of work with creating quantum, real technology, quantum energy generators, and vibrating stone or crystal or even diamond jewelry with this information, and people wear it, and we can see before and after their aura gets brighter, their energy field gets brighter, etc. But with our daughter, what we did is we took the audio files of the NASA Sound of the Sun and some really incredible harmonic music by Jonathan Goldman, and we played it to the fruit juice and the water before my wife drank it. We played it to her belly while, you know, our baby, you know, Alira was conceived. And we already know, in fact, one of my co-researchers, Krishna Madappa, who's a really an expert at using the GDV Aura camera designed by Konstantin Korotkov, that they can see just by playing mantras when early DNA is forming, like talking about at that moment of conception, which is your question, they can see profound changes at the DNA level just by exposing that early conception stage to these perfect harmonic vibrations. So chanting mantras and prayers is very powerful. Inducing harmonic fields when a woman is in that stage, she should almost be removed from the workplace and the stress environment and just be exposed to these beautiful vibrations. I really think it will enhance the development of the rapid growth and the rapid information and transformation of the actual body of your child. Even though it can affect our consciousness, and I've demonstrated that over and over scientifically, there are two scientists from the 1970s, Davis and Rawl. This is really old research. And not very many people know about their work today, but they found, this is really astounding, that the south end of a magnet, which is actually the north field of the planet Earth, causes the magnetic field to expand. And the negative field actually contracts. So they did healing experiments on the body just using magnets. And I did some experiments myself with really powerful magnets and created a monopole. You have to create a monopole to do this. It doesn't work with an ordinary north and south pole magnet. And you can see by holding the north end, it's like the electron. The electron is the negative force in the electron force of energy. And it's spiraling inwards and collapsing inwards because it's gathering energy. And the positron, the opposite particle, is spiraling outwards and expanding. So you have an expansion force in the universe and a contractive or gravity force in the universe, and this is probably the real secret to it. Studying the biological energy fields of Davis and Rawl's work, they clearly identified that the negative field was energy gathering and therefore healing to the body. And when we go into expanded states, the south field expands. If you expose the south field of the body too long, the body becomes acidic and is a breeding ground for cancer. They both serve a purpose, and you need a balance between your north and south fields, but you just have to understand that the north, you don't want to get too much north either, because then all of your energy is going to contract, and you're not going to expand and receive new information. So there's this great breathing going on in biological energy fields. They're expanding, contracting. Just like we breathe in, we breathe out. It's very consistent with the breath. So,
interesting.
There's a lot we can do with energy fields, but in improving the energy field of the body. But to answer your question,
hang on. Answer the question on the other side. This is Coast to Coast. Thank you, Ross. You really don't need to say my name that much. I don't think I've heard it that much since I was getting in trouble back in school. We're having a fascinating discussion, at least in my opinion it is, and several of the people who have called and emailed and fast blasted and everything else because of this understanding that that old thing about there's nothing constant but change, well, that's for sure. And there's a large change headed our way. And I really want to find out if, for many years, farther back than I'd care to admit, I have heard that magnetism is, in fact, the greatest force in our physical universe. Well, I think possibly the only force greater than magnetism in the universe is the originator of the universe. So We'll be back with David Sirita, and we will carry on our conversation in just a few moments on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, and David, I don't want to, I've just got to know. Some people have sworn by little magnetic bands on their wrists for years. Is there anything to that at all? I don't think they're monopoles, but maybe they are.
Well, there's something to it, but you really have to do studies. I would be careful working with strong magnets on the body because we have a lot of minerals, and of course we have iron and some magnetic materials in our body, and how magnets could move that around or condense it could even, you know, be beneficial or dangerous. I like working with much more subtle things than magnets. I mean, putting a true south monopole on your third eye has proven to increase psychic abilities, but if you left it there too long, it caused some serious damage. I wouldn't wear a magnet permanently unless it was really weak, and I really have to understand the difference between south and north fields. If, you know, people, you should search Davis and Rawl on Google and really learn a lot about that process. But even they warn also of how you use magnets. It has to be done properly. You can definitely treat water. Another way to turn your body into a super battery is increase your magnesium, calcium, and a little bit of lithium, which we use in earth batteries. It's actually, we're just like batteries. You know, we have copper, zinc, and, you know, gold and silver and iron and all the minerals in our bodies. And some people who I've measured, their body voltages are really low. They suffer from depression, but they also can easily improve their state just by taking good quality minerals. Because minerals, if you take water, we're basically water and flesh and carbon. And if you take water that has no minerals or demineralized water, electrical current doesn't move through it very well at all. But when you have good potassiums and salts and minerals in your water, you run electrical current, and it really is highly conductive stuff. So we're just like that. Our energy system really falls apart if we don't get enough minerals in our diet. They're almost more important than the vitamins.
Understood. Would you mind just jumping sideways a little bit? You referred to the third eye. Most of us think we know what that is, but would you tell us just your definition of it and how to employ it in our meditation to get the most out of it?
Well, I mean, from a simple perspective, there are some people who, you know, when we're teaching our children in school and even adults in the college level, university level, they can't see things very well in their mind's eye, like if you're describing an architecture or an apple or an orange. And there are people who can visualize really well in their mind's eye. That is the very simple use of the third eye. But if you meditate a lot, as I've done over the years, and for 30 years I've hardly ever missed a day and a lot of intensive work, you can have these radical shifts in your consciousness. And I remember seeing ghosts, and I'm looking at my body. How am I seeing this? I see this beautiful spirit in front of me in perfect detail, no fuzziness. And I can see almost a vortex of energy coming out of my third eye. It looks like a kind of a funnel. And, you know, the two eyes that we have, that we use, the physical eyes, work in a very similar way. They're kind of like funnels that you go into the skull. But the third eye between the eyebrows is known. In fact, Jesus also refers to it in the Gospels. You know, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be filled with light. He's talking about the single eye between the eyebrows, and he's also talking about ending duality and attaining singularity. If you really meditate a lot and you really devote your life to it, it can really open up, and you can really see the invisible universe very well.
Is the reaction to such a sight predictable? Is it one of wonder, or is it one
of
shock?
For me, the visible part is easy. You know, I don't see monsters. I don't see anything really scary. It's the electricity. I mean, I can give you an example where, you know, before I did a lot of work on vibrationally treated, you know, pendants and raising my body voltage, the Greek mathematician Archimedes appeared to me, and I saw him fully with my eyes open. His energy field had too much electricity for me. I started kicking him in the head in my bed, and my wife is lying next to me, and my whole body is saying, go away, you're too powerful for this physical body. It's the electricity part of the transference of energy that is the most difficult part about seeing an advanced spiritual being in the physical. Now, if we travel out of body in the astral plane, our astral bodies are much more pure and higher vibrational bodies. It's much easier to see them that way. And that's why if you study the lives of the saints, even the Catholic saints in the Bible, you'll see that, for example, the Virgin Mary received the vision from the Archangel Gabriel in a dream. And the first biblical prophet, which is Enoch, he describes his visions going through the heavens and meeting God in a dream, which is out of body. We would call that out of body in a very lucid dream state. So it's easier there. But there are also encounters the Virgin Mary had in the body where she saw the angels. And you have to have a very purely harmonized electrical system to handle it, because the energy levels are off the chart with these kind of beings.
Understood. Can you give us some... we talked a little while ago, and you indicated you would not object to speaking with a couple of callers, but...
Oh, yeah, I'd love to speak to some callers, yeah.
Okay. I'll tell you what, why don't we do that? We have a first-time caller. It says Rochelle on the first-time caller line. Come on into the Global Living Room and speak with David Sarita.
Thank you for taking my call. I have epilepsy, and they claim that they don't really know what may have made me start to have seizures, other than there was a part of my brain that did not develop. I'm wondering if like the magnetism or electricity or shifting may cause the seizures, some seizures. And what you were just speaking about also with out-of-body experiences, I have multiple different kinds of seizures. Do you think a complex partial seizure could be part of an out-of-body experience also?
Well, that's an amazing question, because I've measured and dealt with some epileptics. When a person goes into a seizure, they're having a surge of electricity that is way higher than the average person's electricity in their body. In fact, it's way beyond the 2,000 millivolt or 200 millivolt range. It's clearly going into the high voltage range. There are Qigong masters that can manifest even 30-volt spikes, which is enormous on a body. An epileptic seizure is, there are two possibilities. One, the nerves and the nervous system of the individual doesn't have enough myelin or coating around their nerves, so eating good, organic, non-processed lecithin has a lot of myelin in it, and you can look online where sources of vegetables and foods that have myelin to help improve the coating around the nerves, and that may help with epilepsy. It's something that needs to be studied more. But also, we know that many cases where a person comes in contact with a super high energy field, and that may even be high tension power lines, by the way, if you have a very raw or sensitive nervous system, super high energy electrical power lines could be really dangerous to an epileptic. I would keep them in a very pure environment. But also, very high energy beings can transfer electricity, and some epilepsy may actually be a paranormal phenomenon. But when it continues to happen to a person, it's more likely they need some serious healing on the nervous system level, and I would not induce voltage on and use magnets. Person with epilepsy, I would more likely repair the myelin coating and around the nerves and take a lot of B vitamins, and you might see some help there. But also, there's a lot of, when there's chaos in an electrical field, you get seizures, you get ripples. So harmonizing the nervous system of a person with epilepsy and practicing really good meditations might really help.
Excellent. Thank you. Let's quickly go to Ross. He is on the wild card line. Are you there?
I am. Greetings and namaste to you both.
Greets.
I had a couple of quick questions and a personal experience that I'd like to share if I could.
Roll it as quickly as you can.
All righty. The first one, in the early 50s, the note of A was changed from 432 hertz to 440 hertz. I was wondering if you had any idea of how that might affect us, since if you follow the chakra system, the node of A corresponds to the third eye.
The 432, my friend Jamie Buter is really evolved in the work on the 432, is the proper mathematical scale for where we should be on the music scale and with all electrical instruments. But unfortunately, we're not, and that is where we should be.
I agree. I think it was a travesty that this happened. Thank you, Joseph Goebbels. Have you any experience with sacred geometry, and can you relate that to any of the things that you're talking about tonight?
Well, my work in sacred geometry is very new and advanced in my differentials work, which I've spoken about on this show before, so you'd have to look in the archives, because it's a very evolved subject. The differentials, the hidden harmonic codes of the universe, clearly reveals that man-made even-sided geometries are all static and are not harmonic. And you'll see why in that presentation.
All right, very good. Thanks for calling. Let's see, east of the Rockies, we have Stephen in St. Louis. Is he still with us?
Yes, I am, sir.
Hey, Stephen.
Okay, now, your guest is pretty good on knowing that our bodies are electrical systems, but we are an electric generator. I spent 20 years in aerospace programs. Now, if you'd like to have my number after this program, I'll be available on my phone, and you can call me. Now, I'll tell you a little about this energy field. President Bush wanted people who were into nanotechnology. I was appointed by him in 2002. I do have aura meters. I have all kinds of different devices, but we can measure using novel devices will enhance the immune system of the human body. For instance, diabetics have a very low electrical field. We can immediately sense them with a life force field reactor. And when we use a novel device, which is a monopolar functioning device, only weighs an ounce, it enhances the aura around that person up to 90 feet. And all diabetics who wear them, they have the same energy level as people who do not have diabetes.
That's amazing.
Incredible.
And you can measure all of your food. You can tell exactly the right amount of food and what food will agree with you simply by using a life force field reactor pointing at the person. It will indicate either an east-west polarity, or you'll be tuned to the magnetic field of the Earth. Tuning to the magnetic field of the Earth is good. East and west is tuned to the electrical flow of the Earth. That product you do not ingest.
That's great. Listen, send your information to me at John B., just J-O-H-N, and B as in Bravo, at Coast to Coast AM, and let me take a look at it. Thank you very much for calling. He's gone.
Yeah, and he can email me at davidcerita@hotmail.com, too.
davidcerita@hotmail. Very good, very good. Okay, let's do one more. Let's talk to Jan in Oakland, wildcard line.
Hi, I know somebody who has helped with epilepsy with the B complex, what it said. And I use electromagnetic devices like laser, a mineral infrared lamp frequency generator, and it's helped me unbelievably. And I want to know, you said you have pendants and things. Can you tell me where to get them? Are they on your website? Or you said you have things to enhance the electromagnetic fields. Can you tell me about it?
Yeah, there's a link on the Coast to Coast site. It's lightstreamtechnologies.com, and that's where people can find out about those.
All right, thanks very much for calling, Jan. Let's see. Well, that was quick. Let's see. Do we have Jeff in California on the wildcard line? Sorry? He's gone. Okay, how about in Ontario? Lyndon.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, John. David?
Yes.
You're an excellent guest. I agree with you just about, on everything, on your angels. I've had kind of the same things happen to me. And I just wanted to answer, I do have a question about your wife and her fibromyalgia. But I wanted to answer John's question about who's pulling the string on the puppet masters. And we have to remember the Bilderbergers and the people that reign over the Bilderbergers, which is the group of seven. And I only remember two of them, one being Prince Philip and the other one being the Emperor of Japan. And I believe these are the people that pull the strings on the puppets all around the world. And you were talking about our shadow government. Our shadow government is very evil. They described themselves to me once as the Dark Angels. I wanted to ask, you were talking about the fibromyalgia that your wife had. Do you also take electronic electricity readings in your car and everywhere you go?
Oh, yeah. I've done a lot of different studies. My wife, before we did this new, you know, technology, she had the lowest voltage of anybody I've ever tested, and now she's much higher than the average person, and her pain levels have gone about 75% reduced. You know, so there's still more to learn and more to do about things like fibromyalgia. But there's it's clearly any nervous system disorder usually exhibits a very low body voltage, but also with extreme personality disorder or bipolar. If a person has a deep trauma in their life, they will fry their battery because of the extreme emotions. And if they keep obsessive-compulsive on those emotions, they're going to keep running their battery dry. So such persons really need to either clear those emotional patterns or really recharge their battery by taking really good minerals and doing different types of things to heal their nervous system, because they even a car accident, which I've been in a number of them in Los Angeles. Thank God I don't live there anymore. The drivers are so bad and really ruined me and caused me tremendous pain. And pain itself is a trauma, and it can really fry your batteries dry. But now I have some of the highest voltages on anybody I've ever seen, and they're harmonic voltages. Now, just increasing energy alone is not necessarily, you know, the right thing to do. You want the energy increase to be harmonized, higher energy, not just a blast of energy. So we have to look at different ways of doing it in a very, very harmonic way.
David, what an extraordinary pleasure it's been to speak with you for these hours tonight. I certainly hope that we can do it again. Would you give us your website details just one more time?
Yes. My new film, Hope for Humanity, is at voiceentertainment.net, and it covers a lot of what we talked about tonight. That's voiceentertainment.net. It's a coast-to-coast site. And my pendants are at Lightstream Technologies, plural, lightstreamtechnologies.com. And, John, it's been great talking to you and getting to know you a bit. I'd love to chat with you more.
We'll do it. We'll do it. Thank you very much. Well, that's it for now. A lot of things can happen between now and the next time we meet, but let me just say this. We're all going to live forever, but what we do here in this realm will determine, I believe, where. Until we meet again, keep your faith and be well. Good night.